the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. Hey, guys.
Hey, good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Good morning.
Feast of St. Bernadette. You know, she suffered and died between 11 and 3 o'clock, and she passed away at 3 o'clock, and it was an Easter Wednesday. So, yeah. Wow. On this date.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Didn't know that.
At 3 o'clock. I thought that was pretty profound. So,
yeah.
There.
Yeah.
You're going to learn a lot more than I can say in a little bit about St. Bernadette, though.
Yeah. Well, we're going to pray to her right now. How's that
good.
Sound?
Good.
Okay.
Even better.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Pray for us, St. Bernadette, that like you, we may always be obedient to the will of our Heavenly Father, and that through our prayers and humility, we may bring consolation to the most sacred heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary that have been so gravely wounded by our sins. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have some events in our listening area for today's lineup. We will give you details about at 10 after. You can find all of these events and submit yours for free at ccmedia.live. You never know, we might talk about it on the air like we're going to be doing
probably
today.
Will.
So
yeah.
Stay with us.
More than likely.
In 18, yes. In 18 minutes, Bishop Michael Duca joins us. He's a bishop of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and today we are going to be diving into the Easter season as we continue on. And we're also going to be getting a little diocesan update from Bishop Duca, see how he's doing and how the diocese is doing during this Easter season. So it's an exciting time. Looking forward to having Bishop Duca on. He's very busy. So any chance we can get to have a bishop join us, we are excited.
Yep.
In 35 minutes, Steve Ray joins us. He's a Catholic convert and pilgrimage leader, and he always answers some profound questions. Well, today he is going to be answering, where was Jesus for 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension? So Steve's going to be giving us the answer. All you have to do is sit back and relax, and you will learn something new, because I always enjoy Steve's segment.
Me too. I always learn
something new during his segment. So looking forward to that. And in 48 minutes, we are continuing our discussion on Mother Frances Cabrini with Dawn Buettner. She's a spokesperson for Ignatius Press and the book Too Small a World, The Life of Mother Frances Cabrini. So we're looking forward to that conversation with Dawn today. We've really been diving into Mother Cabrini lately, especially since the release of the movie. So looking forward to that conversation. And Damian, always, always looking forward to your weather report.
Oh, well, that's always good to hear.
Yeah, well, I really am, though.
Like yesterday, it's going to be cloudy with spots of sunshine here and there, but probably a little cloudier than it was. Windier as well. Winds out of the south-southeast at about 10 to 20 miles an hour. And the high is going to be 86. No rain in the forecast. Should be a beautiful night for an LSU-UNO baseball game. Mm. Always the interstate, inner-city rivalry is always kind of fun, you know, where those two get together.
Yeah, it is.
And tomorrow, the weather, basically the same holds true. Only a 10% chance of rain in the forecast. And the high is going to be in the mid to upper 80s. Currently in and around the area, in Mandeville at 68 degrees, home of Thibodeau at 73, Bay St. Louis, New Orleans, and Baton Rouge all reporting 71 degree temperatures right now to get our morning started off on the right foot. And it's almost 5 after the hour. We have the gospel and reflection coming your way. And as Gabby said, events here on Wake Up.
Thank you. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 6. The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Influenced by the miraculous multiplication of the loaves and fish, the crowd asked Jesus for a sign on the order of the manna that fed the Hebrew people in the desert for 40 years. Jesus will indeed give them a sign, one that far exceeds even their wildest dreams. But first, Jesus corrects their understanding of the miracle of the manna. It came from the sky, not from heaven. Secondly, it wasn't Moses who gave the manna, it was the Lord. In addition, the manna only sustained life for a time. Therefore, the manna was less than perfect, but it looked to the perfect food that does come from heaven. The description of this miraculous bread that comes down from heaven connects this heavenly bread with Jesus, who, as the Son of Man, came down from heaven. Thus, Jesus declared that this true heavenly bread of God gives life to the world. And like the Samaritan woman who asked for water that would quench all thirst, the crowd responded enthusiastically, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus will now raise the discussion to a whole new level, which is developed into tomorrow's gospel. Here, it is relevant for self-examination. Do we hunger for the bread of life, the Eucharist, with the fervor of the first Christians? Let's consider the example of St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was sent to Rome as a prisoner to be martyred in the arena in Rome around the year 110. Listen to what he wrote to the Roman Christians about his longing for the Eucharist. "There is no fire of material longing within me, but only water living and speaking in me, saying within me, 'Come to the Father.' I take no pleasure in corruptible food or the pleasures of this life. I want the bread of God, which is the flesh of Christ, who is the seed of David, and for drink I want his blood, which is incorruptible love." May we learn to love and long for the Eucharist like this martyr. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
It is almost 11 after the hour on this Tuesday morning of Wake Up. Thank you for joining us and tuning your heart to the truth. And here are some events we want to share with you. Yesterday we mentioned that Dan Burke is in Baton Rouge, and he's kind of doing a spot tour, so to speak, at different churches, and he'll be at St. Agnes, as we mentioned, on Saturday, talking about spiritual warfare. But tonight, he's at Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic Church on Main Street in Baton Rouge. He's going to be talking about the interior life through the lens of St. Teresa of Avila. And so Mass will be at 6 o'clock. The talk will begin right after Mass from 7 to 8:30. If you'd like to go, go to ccmedia.live for details.
All Are Welcome is a support group that was established by parents of special needs children in conjunction with the Diocese of Baton Rouge to provide resources, fellowship opportunities opportunities for people with exceptional needs, children and their families. To learn more about the support for All Are Welcome, go to ccmedia.live.
Wonderful. Well, there have been several diaconate discernment sessions that have taken place over the last few months for men in the Diocese of Baton Rouge who feel called to the diaconate or who might be interested in learning more about the diaconate and the formation process. There is one final session for the spring on April 20th, which is a Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Day of Discernment 5, which is academic formation, is over at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, also known as FRANU. Any men who might possibly feel called to the diaconate are encouraged to attend. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information. And we continue Uplift Your Priests Week, which was actually, was it last week, Damien?
It was.
Okay. Yeah.
But we're continuing it on because why not?
We should.
So
that's right. Yeah.
Always affirm your priest, though.
Absolutely.
After Mass, thank you, Father. Great homily. Or thank you for being here. How are you? So uplift your priest. Send them a card that you had an adoration hour for them, a Mass for them, anything. Pray for your priest always and constantly be uplifting your priest. Even though last week has ended with the official week, we continue on with the celebration.
And they put in a lot of work last week, too. Mm-hmm. But you know what, guys? This job enables me to hang out with a lot of these guys. These guys are amazing. The stuff that they do all day long. I mean, living that life is just... What a gift we have with these guys. So, yes. Affirm them.
These guys, he's talking about priests.
I am talking about priests.
Okay. There's a couple of big events taking place in Baton Rouge, especially on the southeast side of the city. St. Jude Catholic Church is having their church fair this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So go out for that. And make sure you stop by the Muffalata booth.
Oh, boy.
Yours truly may be there.
Really? Okay.
Also, the St. George Bingo Night. St. George Bingo Night is Saturday from 5 to 8:30. Cash only. There will be an ATM machine there. It's $1 a card, $10 jambalaya dinners, and it's going to be a lot of fun from 5 to 8:30 at St. George Catholic Church. I can't remember the last time I even played bingo.
It's been a long time.
I think I
might have to take that up with a muffaletta in my hand.
There you go.
All right.
The St. Jude Fair, one of the best. So many great memories over at the St. Jude Fair. Highly recommend. Take the kids.
It sounds like
it's going to be great weather.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
In Baton Rouge. Yeah. Oh, it's a blast.
It's a lot of fun for sure. So, it's my church parish, so I'm going to brag about it.
And you're making the muffalettas, though.
Thursday, we start making them Thursday, and we heat them up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
For once,
we can serve them on Friday. A lot of times, during Lent, we can't.
Yeah,
When they have the fair. So we'll have them all three nights and days. So stop by for lunch or dinner. Okay, folks, 15 after the hour, it's Tuesday. It's Wake Up. Thanks for being with us.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 16th. Today we celebrate St. Bernadette Subaru. Tsk, tsk, what is the problem with that poor, ignorant girl who claims that the Blessed Mother has appeared to her? Poor Bernadette, indeed, the uneducated French peasant who first reported visions of Mary in Lourdes, France in 1858, was disbelieved by clergy and dismissed by townspeople. But she wasn't shaken. She insisted that Mary had appeared to her 18 times over 6 months, and she reported the Blessed Mother identified herself as the Immaculate Conception, a title given to Mary by Pope Pius IX only 4 years earlier. According to young Bernadette, Mary called for the conversion of sinners through penance. She also urged people to visit the place of the apparitions and ask that a church be built on the site. Since then, millions of people have bathed in the springs at Lourdes, and many have reported miraculous healings. Bernadette joined the Sisters of Notre Dame at Nevers. There she lived as Sister Maria Bernarda until her death in 1879 at age 35. She was canonized in 1933. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith, and right now we are honored to be having a return guest, Bishop Michael Duca. He's with the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning.
And happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter to you too.
And the
Lord is risen.
He has risen indeed. And we're going to say this for how much longer?
Well, you can say it, like, we should be saying it all our lives every day.
That's true.
Amen.
That's a good point. Yeah,
but it's a good prayer to begin the day with, you know.
Right.
And
right.
A good, quick morning offering.
And as we get along through the Easter season, and I believe I want to say it's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks, y'all. About
we're in the third week now.
We're in the third week now. Okay, yeah. And so, what do we do to keep this in front of us? You know, how do we keep this Easter feeling alive in us?
Wow, that's I think because it's right in front of us. As I said, it's right in front of us this season right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the Easter candle burning, reminding us of Christ, our light. I think we keep it in front of us by the way we keep our relationship with the Lord alive, just through prayer every day.
Right.
You know, every time we pray, it's a affirmation. It's an act of faith, you know. It's an act of faith and belief.
Absolutely.
In the resurrected Lord.
Yeah.
That he lives forever and that he's with the Father. And somehow through his connection between his humanity and divinity together, we're all drawn up into the very nature of God.
Right.
And so reflecting upon that, it should be something that inspires us every day.
Yeah.
Of course, the cares of the world overcome us. And so I always keep in mind that the kind of the dichotomy of light and darkness. Pope John Paul called it the culture of death, the culture of life. You know, where am I living today? Am I living with hope? Hope is really, I think, the virtue that kind of tells us where we're at sometimes.
Yeah.
When we begin to lose hope, we begin to live in that culture that sees the only possibilities are very mundane, very practical, oftentimes overstepping the rights of others in order to get what we want. And with hope, we lose imagination, that kind of imagination for something better and the belief that it can really happen. And I think that's our greatest fear today. We have so many things that seem to burden us as a culture, big things that we can't seem to do anything about.
Yes.
We get pushed into the sense that there's no answer to this.
Right.
But what we need, that we got to go back. The Lord is risen. There is an answer. The impossible has happened. One who has died rose from the dead. And if that can happen, then we all have that possibility that light will always conquer darkness.
Right.
So we can't get our, we need to draw our strength from the Lord. And just like these great miracles, the miracles of the feeding of the 5,000, for example, you know, Jesus, he didn't have enough to do all that. He only had 5 loaves and a couple of fish, you know.
Right.
But what did he do? He gave thanks for what he had, and there was enough.
Yeah.
And so we just have to, we have to get up. The Lord is risen, you know, and really have to proclaim it, you know, proclamation, and pull ourselves back into the light. That's the hope we have.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
He left us his body and blood that we could celebrate it every day.
Yes, yes. But,
well, that's it. I mean, that's where we really renew ourselves at the feet of the Lord and with his word every day.
I do believe you're right. Just we're going to have to keep this in front of us every day, all the time, because we are constantly bombarded by the media, and we have everything that is in our hands, but everything that's in our hands is showing us doom and gloom, right?
Dependence. I think that's the beauty of the Eucharistic revival. We're in our third year, and it's culminating this year in July, and I'm excited about it. This is also, you mentioned Easter season, but I think of communion, First Communion and Confirmation. Bishop, you got to be on tour right now.
I'm in the middle of my spring tour.
Last week, this week,
next week, and the next half of the next week, I'll have confirmations almost every night.
Oh my!
And on Saturdays and Sundays as well. And so I will be moving through it. I have a Friday free this week, but I was in Pier Park yesterday. I think I forget where I'm going tomorrow. I have to check a calendar every day to see where I'm next.
Guys.
But I love that because it gets me out into the parishes. I get to see,
that's right.
You know, kind of a way of getting around to seeing the different places. I tell them, I'm able to do a confirmation even for very small numbers in a parish just so I can go there and be with the people and see what's going on. And so I enjoy it. And it's a lot of traveling, but the pastor does all the work.
He has to get everybody ready.
I just had a grandparent. I just kind of walk in and You know, you, that great celebration.
You make a big mess and let him clean it all up afterwards, right?
You're there for pictures, for confirmation and pictures.
Oh, wow.
I don't make a mess, but.
So coming soon to a parish near you, get your tickets early. Bishop Duca on tour. So,
all right.
Well, let's talk about the Eucharistic revival and what's going to be going on, especially this year.
That's right. Well, we have locally, we have two things going on. And I was just, I got my calendar right in front of me. And I, first of all, the national, there's going to be a national Eucharistic procession. Mm-hmm. So I think starting from three different locations, mm-hmm. traveling across the United States, ending up in Indianapolis for the Eucharistic Congress that we're having there in July. And that begins on, I think, July 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's coming through Baton Rouge on, let me get my, June 7th.
June 7th, okay.
And they're going to, I think we're going to, I forget where we're beginning. We're beginning at the, let me see how we're doing this. We're beginning at the cathedral, I think.
Yeah, St. Joseph. It, uh-huh.
And then we're walking to St. Agnes Parish.
Okay.
Where the Daughters of Charity are working there.
Okay.
Then we're, from there, we're going to St. Francis Xavier, African-American parish there.
Yeah.
And then from there, we're going to go to Christ the King. It seems like a long distance, but evidently it's doable. And we're going to go from there to Christ the King on campus at LSU. And from there, they'll take off to the next stop on their tour. On the Eucharistic tour.
Wow.
The other thing, and I don't have this date in front of me, and I wish I did. Maybe you know the date. They're having the procession down the Mississippi.
Yes.
That Father Michael Champagne is working on.
Right, right.
And that will begin here in Baton Rouge, too, at our cathedral. And then they'll process down to the river from here. There's a dock there. They'll load up. The people going on the boat will get on. And it will go down the river all the way around to St. Michael's in Convent.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way, they're going to gather people on the sides of the river at certain points so they can prepare it. And as the Eucharist goes by, can adore and pray as the Eucharist goes by. And they'll stop at Convent for the night. Now, that's unique for today because
it sure Convent, is.
I think it has the oldest, certainly the oldest inside grotto to Our Lady of Lourdes in the United States.
I didn't know it was the oldest.
That's amazing.
Oh, nice.
One of the oldest, it knows inside.
Yeah.
I think it was actually there before it was officially acknowledged, but because those were priests from France were there.
It's amazing. Yeah.
In fact, their altar, they tell me the altar that came from a World's Fair in France, from a pavilion, a France pavilion. It was in France, and the guy asked, I guess the priest asked, what are you going to do with that? And they said, we don't know. Well, let me take it back to Convent, Louisiana. So it got shipped back to Convent, Louisiana.
That is a beautiful, beautiful church. And if you ever get a chance, it's behind the altar back there, the beautiful grotto.
Right. Beautiful inside. Yeah. Inside. So they would stay there overnight, and then they'll get back on the boat. There's a place they can unload and load there. That's the problem, is finding the places where they can park the boat. And then they're going to go down the river to the New Orleans, and they'll end up in, of course, Jackson Square, the procession of the Basilica, and have mass there in the tour. So
wow.
That'll be a big event.
How big a part of do you have in this? Are you going to be taking it all the way down the river yourself, or are you just what's your part?
No, I'm going to get it to the river.
You're going to get it to the river?
He's going to send them off.
From the cathedral.
And,
still, that is so unique.
I think they have one of the places, Plaquemine has a park close to the river.
They do.
They're going to suggest one gathering. I might go to one of those if I can make it.
It's August 14th through the 15th,
okay.
Bishop Duca, from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. I'll post the link. There's a route on it, a whole website. I'll post the link in the comment section for those who are interested and want to find out more. This is so cool and so unique. So, take a look at that route.
So, besides that, for me, it's going to be confirmations, then after that's graduations, high school graduations.
Yes.
And And of course, we're in the middle of doing assignment changes and things like that.
Right.
So it's a very busy time of the year.
Other than that, you have nothing to do. So, we hope it's a peaceful spring for you. Hey, before we let you go, could you give us a blessing?
I sure can.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving God, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts and fill them with the hope that comes from Jesus' resurrection from the dead. In resurrecting, you brought light, a light that conquers the darkness of our hearts when they are filled with despair or questions or doubt, the light that gives us hope once again. Help us never, as St. Mother Teresa said, never let anything so fill us with sorrow or doubt or despair that we forget the joy and the power of Christ risen from the dead. May our blessing be a blessing of that spirit in our hearts, and every day that we may proclaim that the Lord is risen, he is risen indeed. And God's blessings be upon you all today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop Duca. I look forward to talking to you again.
I do. Me too, and I love listening to you on the radio. So thank you for all you're doing there at the radio station.
Thank you. God bless.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Wake Up. Everyone survived tax day, and we're all excited about that. Hopefully, you don't have to pay too much back to the government. They already have your money to begin with. In the meantime, we are here with a regular friend of ours. Say hey, Steve Ray, Catholic convert, and he is a leader of pilgrimages all over the world. And today, our topic, though, is... where was Jesus for 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension? And if somebody's got an answer to that, it's our buddy Steve Ray.
Does.
Good morning.
Good morning, Damien. And I've been to all those places, too, that Jesus appeared. So it's all right in my mind's eye, so to speak.
Wow.
But for 40 days after the resurrection, he made appearances. It was different than before, because before he was with them all the time. And they woke up with him in the morning. They went out doing ministry and ate with him, and they were with him all the time. But now he's just kind of popping in and out whenever he feels like it.
and
they're kind of confused, you know, like, where is he? You know, well,
yeah,
he just popped in here in the upper room. He didn't even come through the door, you know.
Yes, right.
But he still has a physical body. That's what's interesting about it. He's not a spirit only. He is a physical body. And by the way, he will have that physical body in eternity, because the catechism says he's seated in his body at the right hand of God the Father. We'll be able to see the wounds in his hands when we get there. But he has what's called a spiritual body, but he still eats. He proved it to them. He says, come and touch me. I have bones and flesh, not like a spirit, and give me some fish, I'll eat it for you, see? And he eats the fish. So he is still a physical body, but raised from the dead, and we hear of it as a new spiritual body. And I love this verse in Acts chapter 1:3. It says, Jesus presented himself to them alive after his suffering, with many proofs appearing to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So many proofs. These guys had no doubt. In fact, they were willing to die for it because they knew it was true later in their life.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why he appeared to so many different people throughout the 40 days, was to prove that he had risen and is risen.
Yes.
And I have to think also that he probably showed up more than twice in that upper room. I'm just, you know, for some reason when I was meditating on this, I'm going, I bet you he was there more than twice, but they just wrote it down a couple of times, the one that made big impacts. What do you think?
Yes, I think you're right. There's about 12 times that he appeared that are mentioned in Scripture. But Paul has a very interesting passage in 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, that's called the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the resurrection. And it says that after he raised, he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of them still alive. So in other words, these guys are witnesses. If you doubt us, I can go line them all up here, and they'll all tell you they saw 500 of them. Most of them are still alive, though some have fallen asleep or died. Then he appeared to James. Now, we don't know that the Gospels don't tell us about appearing to James and then to all the apostles. So there are times where we don't know. Who are those 500? We're not sure. But let's put it this way. Who was the first one to see him at the tomb? Was Mary Magdalene and the other holy women, Salome and Mary, and Mary, the mother of James. And that. So these holy women saw him. But Paul doesn't mention them. He just says that he appeared first to Peter and then to the 12. So what's going on there? First of all, in the ancient world, women were not considered reliable witnesses. That is just the way it was back then.
Yep.
So Paul is making like a legal challenge. He's saying there are legitimate witnesses, first Peter, then the 12, then 500, and then James, and then the 12 again, and then even to me. But he doesn't mention the women because they were considered, unfortunately, but they were considered as unreliable witnesses. Now, if he appeared to 500 men at one time, and there was also women and children around, just like, remember when he fed 5,000 men, the multiplication of the loaves?
They didn't count the women
count
and children.
Women and children.
Right.
Oh.
So when it says 5,000 men, there was probably 20,000 that got bred that day and fish. So if he appeared to 500, then we're probably talking about 2,000 that saw him. But there were women and children.
Now, that is something I never thought of.
Yeah.
The feeding of the fish, that it would be that many more.
Dave always thought when he said he appeared to the 500 men, it was a golf tournament, and Jesus was showing up to as a, you know,
he
master.
On a golf cart.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so
he doesn't need a golf tournament.
But, Steve, one of the areas that really is intriguing is the Mount of Olives for his ascension. And we don't hear much about that, but to me, that is such a sacred place because I kind of put it on the parallel of Arlington Cemetery here in the United States. It's a major burial site in Jerusalem.
Well, it is. Even today, when we take our groups there, you see there's the huge Jewish cemetery. The Christians are all buried in the Kidron Valley down here. The Muslims are all buried up along the eastern wall of the Temple Mount. And it is a huge burial site. But back in those days, not so much. It was a big garden of olives. And then at the top, you had, it was pretty much a bare top of the mountain. I have pictures of Jerusalem from the air when they first had airplanes and cameras, and almost everything was inside the city walls. Even up on Mount of Olives, there's nothing. So, but Jesus, when he took them up there, that's where the ascension took place. I love to say that if you were standing here back in those days, 2,000 years ago, and he's standing there, and all of a sudden he starts to go up. He starts to surprise him because he's never done that before. You know, he's always on the ground. All of a sudden, the last thing they see is the bottom of his dirty feet as he goes up into a cloud.
Where are you going? Yes.
But it had to be amazing. And I love the fact that I go to Acts 1:8. It says, "But you will receive power where the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." He's giving us our final assignment, our first and final.
A couple of interesting points. A couple of points interesting about that. When he says, "I'll give you power," the Greek word is dunamos. What word do you think we get from dunamos? Dynamite.
Dynamite.
When he says,
"Oh, wow."
That's the Greek word is dunamos, and that's where we get our English word dynamite. Also, the word witness in Greek is martus, which is where we get the word martyr. So being a witness, many are witnesses with their mouths, others are witnesses with their blood. And I always say, too, just as a used to be an evangelical Protestant who believed in Bible alone, when I'm there, I said, you know, when Jesus went up and right before he got into the clouds, he stopped and turned around and said to the guys, "Oh, and don't forget to read my book." No, he didn't leave a book.
It'll be out in a week.
That's right. Sign copies.
He didn't leave a book.
Right.
Oh, well, I get you. You're right.
He left 12 men.
Steve.
He left 12 men, one carrying.
Steve, we got about a minute and a half. I always love to talk about your pilgrimages that you have going on. Holy Land is still postponed, I'm thinking, huh?
Yeah, it is, but we got scheduled for November, December, January, February, and March next year.
I like that attitude.
Including Jordan as well. But we've got, so those are scheduled, but we also have, we're taking the Saints and Shrines of France. We're doing a St. Paul cruise through Italy, Turkey, and Greece on a beautiful ship. We also have, coming up next year, two Saints and Shrines of Italy because it's the Jubilee year. We also are going to Ireland this summer. Ireland is just a wonderful place. and even the shrines of Wisconsin.
Real quick, how many shrines are in Wisconsin for you to do that?
That's cool.
You would not believe it. It is such a Catholic place. And we're going to the National Shrine of St. Joseph. We're going to Our Lady of Champion, which is the only approved Marian apparition in the United States. We go there. We're also going to Cardinal Burke's Guadalupe. He has the Shrine of Guadalupe there. And so we hit those three, and there's a lot more on that trip as well. So it's really a quite exciting trip to go to Wisconsin. And you don't get jet lag.
There you go. That's for sure. Well, Steve Ray, we're never bored with you. And I can tell you, if someone goes on a tour or a trip with it'll be an exciting trip. And if they want to learn more, they just need to go to CatholicConvert.com. My friend, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your Easter season, and thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy. Take care.
I always learn something.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think about the 5,000 was just they only counted the men.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot more loaves and fishes then. That is cool. Very cool.
Yeah. And to think there was leftovers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Okay. All right, folks. It is 15 minutes before the top of the hour. Don't go far. We have more coming your way on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Quatto. And for a few months now, we've been talking about Mother Cabrini, especially toward the release of the movie. And then, of course, during the movie, after the movie has been released, we've been talking about different books on Mother Cabrini, biographies, children's books, reflection books, different ways that you can connect with this saint that is so popular right now. And as we end our Mother Cabrini tour, as I like to say, we have Dawn Buettner join us because we've talked about her for a couple of months now.
Right.
She's a spokesperson for the book Too Small a World, The Life of Mother Frances Cabrini. It's published by Ignatius Press. Dawn, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning.
Okay, so this book was not written by you. It was actually written in 1945, or it was published in 1945, and written by Theodore Maynard. Tell us why this book is kind of coming back up again and why we should take a look at it.
Well, I'm sure that part of the reason is because of this, you know, resurgence of interest through the movie and the interest of Mother Cabrini. But she was our first American saint. But Theodore Maynard, I think, has done a beautiful job in this biography, and he can't do it because he passed away like 70 years ago. So I have to do it for him, and I'm happy to like brag on him a little bit because I have read a lot of books about saints. I love the saints. What I have found in books about the saints is that sometimes they tend to be, if they're written by someone who knew the saint, they tend to be somewhat subjective.
Mm-hmm.
They're maybe not really written very well because they're not written by a writer. The other end of the spectrum, you read books about saints who are written by people who are not friendly to the church, and you just don't know which to filter out. Well, this book is this beautiful, happy medium because Theodore Maynard, although he was not born a Catholic, he became a Catholic as a young man, was converted by in part by the witness of G.K. Chesterton and Hilaire Belloc, who were contemporaries of his, and he was all in for the faith. He came to America as a young man, and he was a writer. He was a poet. He also married and had seven children when he came to this country, and I don't know if you can make a living as a poet and feed seven children. So he started to write biographies. He started biographies, and this is one of them. And I'm really excited that Ignatius has released it because he does this beautiful job of spanning that gap. He gives you a beautiful biography about an amazing saint. He tells you things you've never heard before. But he does it in an objective way, in a very way that's very readable, because he's a writer. He can tell a good story.
Yep.
Brought up a lot of interesting things to help us understand and appreciate her.
Dawn, this is David ducking in here. I have the book here, and I had been going through it, and you're absolutely right. What amazes me about this book is the way it is written. Usually they are kind of dry and just factual or lofty and theological, but I mean, he's got dialogue in here. You know, I'm going to read just a little example here. And this is when she was out buying produce, or as best she could. And it said, for instance, this is how it's written. The owner of the Teach Vegetable Market turned out to be a very good Catholic. "Have you a wagon?" he asked. "No, only this bag." Well, what is it that you would like? Greens, garlic, pumpkins, whatever you like to give us. Anyway, it's got the dialogue in it. And it actually, I'm discovering, puts you in the scene with Mother Cabrini throughout the whole book. It's so unique, huh?
Yeah. Well, we are very fortunate. She was very prolific and a relatively modern saint, so we have lots of witnesses who can attest to the things that happened, and it makes it very personal.
Yeah.
There were a number of things about Mother Cabrini that I had read, and I was like, what does that mean? Because this happened 100 years ago. I'm having a hard time interpreting some of this. But he explains that, makes sense of it, helps you understand where that came from.
Right, right.
It's so interesting, Dawn. I was actually having a conversation with a few neighbors. We had a block party during Easter, and we had even non-Catholics talk about this movie on Mother Cabrini, how it's impacted them. They went twice to see this movie, and they are not practicing Catholics. That's how much this saint has made an impact. It continues to make an impact on the community. The groups of young women who go to an all-Catholic school make tours to go see the movie. It's just really interesting to see, and the fact that she's a modern-day saint almost is quite interesting to us. But talk about one of the things that I did here. I haven't made the choice or attempt, honestly, the time to go and see the movie, although I want to. I'm going to wait till it hopefully gets on a streaming platform. But one of the things is it didn't really go into detail on a lot of her life. That's what I've been hearing. Does the book kind of, supplement that yearning of people who want to learn a little bit more about her that the movie didn't cover?
Oh, absolutely. The movie only covers like 4 years of her life. The woman was astounding. They show her in this movie as being like near death multiple times. The woman lived to be 67. She was, she had horrible health, like many great saints. She just, had, terrible health problems all her life. She was born like 3 months premature. So she was a preemie. She was kind of short. Nobody thought anything she was going to be able to do anything because she was poor. And she was just a real go-getter. What the movie really portrays her as very strong, a strong woman, and she was that. What the book shows is that she had two characteristics, three. One, she was shrewd. She was charming. And then she was a real mystic at prayer. So all of this was underlaid not by, your desire to get ahead, but because of her love for our Lord. So there's a strong... Mm-hmm. love of the Lord underpinning everything. But the thing that I personally found hilarious was they talk about her being very shrewd, and she could have been a real estate magnate. She would go into this new city she'd never been to before, and she would walk in and she would like walk the streets, talk to people, look at places, and she would find the place. This is what theater really pulls out, is she would find an ideal location that's like the perfect real estate property that she would get for a song. The story that I find hilarious is she went to Chicago to found a hospital, and she found a place, and these people who owned the property were happy to sell it to her. But I had, believe it or not, they wanted to cheat her. They told her, oh, it's this whole property, but then on the paperwork it was only so much. Well, she was smart like a, she was smart. So she had her nuns get pieces of string, and in the middle of the night they measured the property. And then she went into the real estate meeting with these people and said, you promised me this, but we measured it.
Oh, wow.
And this is what you asked. Love this that. Is what, and she negotiated them down. So another great thing, I don't know, you want to give money to someone who's going to do a good job with it. Well, when you gave money to Mother Cabrini,
you were going to get your money's worth.
I love it. Oh, that is great. Man. Yeah. And so many other stories that we can find in this book, right, Dawn? So Dawn Buettner joins us. She's a spokesperson for the book Too Small a World, The Life of Mother Frances Cabrini. Where can our listeners and viewers pick up their own copy?
Well, Ignatius Press, obviously, and your local Catholic bookstore.
There you go.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dawn. We're closing out our Mother Cabrini tour. We started March 1st on International Women's Day Month, as it begins the month with the president of Cabrini High School in New Orleans talking about the history of Mother Cabrini in New Orleans. Really awesome way to kick off this topic of Mother Frances Cabrini as we continue on with learning a little bit more about this saint. Dawn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mother Cabrini made an impact on the Crescent City for sure.
Right.
She got there during yellow fever. She was not afraid to go where need was needed. And eventually she realized that a lot of kids were parentless and created her own orphanage, Cabrini, with the Sisters of Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
And eventually that became the high school where the orphanage was. A little history note there.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of beautiful saints, how about Saint Bernadette? Today is her feast day, and we'll close our show with a prayer to her in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Saint Bernadette, chosen by Almighty God as a channel of His graces and blessings, and through your humble and obedience to the request of our Blessed Mother Mary, you gained for us the miraculous waters of spiritual and physical healing. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Dania Fitzpatrick with the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society will dive into the spring issue of Joie de Vivre. Dr. Tom Harmon with the University of Houston talks about the University of St. Thomas Houston partnership to launch a first ever master's program in evangelization. That's cool. We'll talk about that. Dr. Jordan Haddad will continue our Catholic 101 segment. Thank you, Jeff Blackwell and Karen Cotton. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.